In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I beg your pardon for my sins, and the grace to spend this time of prayer fruitfully. Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. We are now celebrating the Feast of All the Saints. Now, what do we celebrate? Some might think, well, we are celebrating the feast of many saints put together so that we don't have to have one day for each, or perhaps because there are many saints which we do not know and they are left out without a celebration. Not really. Well, yes, but there is more beyond that. It's not just a concentration of all the saints who had been forgotten, which is true, but beyond that, we are celebrating something more profound. We are celebrating the mystery of the communion of the saints. Well, is an article in the Creed. I believe in the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints. Right. All the saints, that is, all those who have been redeeming Christ, all the saints who are now enjoying a new life from our Mother Mary, first of all, to the last person who recently died in the grace of God, form a communion, an organism, a unity. They are not people plus people plus people. You know, you have sugar. Huh? Nowadays, very few take sugar. Sugar. There are so many grains of sugar. But they don't form an organism. They are together, but they are not forming anything beyond sugar or flour or anything like that. No. We form a communion, a family, a unity. Specifically, they form, to begin with, the glorious body of Christ. That part of the church which had triumphed, all those who are in heaven, but not separated, remember, not like grains of sugar, but as a body. Uh-huh. So a body is not, you know, something that you take one arm and another arm, not that one, no, it's too long, that one shorter, and then two legs and a torso. No, you put it together and you don't have a body. You might have this with a sculpture, for instance, you put assembled, but a sculpture is not a person, right? So that glorious body of Christ in heaven, that triumphant church, they are also in communion with us, the militant church, those of us who are still fighting. We are united in the faith. They don't have faith, so they could have. But they don't have faith in heaven. Why? Because they are seeing God. Faith is to give testimony of what you don't see. But if you see it, you cannot give testimony. Okay? So we have faith. We must have faith. We have hope. Hope of going to heaven. But those in heaven have no faith, no hope anymore, but charity. That's it. They have charity, which is love of God. And we have charity. We must have a charity and increase it. So we are united in love, and with love is charity. That charity that makes us, that love makes us one body, the body of Jesus, and unites us to God the Father. And He becomes our Father. The Father of Jesus becomes our Father because we somehow are the body of Christ. And we are brothers and sisters of the Redeemer Jesus. And the Holy Spirit dwells in us, in this body, and each one of us, as long as we are in the state of grace. That's the charity. Yes. Even us, each one of us, like those in heaven, carry and grieve in each one of us a seal, like a tattoo. A seal with the name of God on our forehead. And that seal indicates our destiny, our vocation. And with that seal, we are integrated in that mysterious number of the 140,000 signaled. So, it's not I who says it, it's the book of Apocalypse, chapter 7, that indicates, points out, that we have that seal, what we have received in baptism. Our particular vocation is just a concretization of baptism. It's the specific way that we have to live our baptismal priesthood, each one of us in a different way, but basically it's the same priesthood, the priesthood of Christ. A profound unity we were talking about. That's why today we have to feel very close to all those saints who went ahead of us, who had faith. They believed past everything that we now believe, not different things. They have expected, they have hope while they were alive. And they hoped exactly what we now hope. They have suffered with Christ as we suffer. We should suffer with Christ, not separated from Him. Therefore, those saints in heaven are our brothers and sisters. They are our friends. Peter is my friend. Saint Paul is my brother. Likewise, Saint Francis of Assisi, St. Ignatius, Pope John Paul II, Carlo Acutis. They are my family, each one of us, have to say today. And the treasure of sanctity are the jewels of my family, of their family. The sanctity of John Paul II is not strange to me, is the sanctity of my family, and I am an unworthy member of that family, but nevertheless is my family. That's why I can rely on him, because he is in the presence of God. And likewise with your patron saint, you should have devotion especially to your patron saint and to all the person who are in heaven after a life on earth. These are the treasures in heaven that our Lord spoke about in Matthew chapter 6 and told us to desire that desire of that treasure of sanctity. So, because of this mysterious communion we were talking about, the communion of the saints, that they are our brothers and sisters, the saints somehow are present also to us. Not like the Lord is in the blessed Eucharist, no, but somehow they are not away or absent, totally absent. Why? Because as St. John has told us in the passage of the Apocalypse I have mentioned, the saints in heaven are right now adoring before the throne of the end of the Lamb, Cordero, non Jos. They are adoring God. That's what they are doing. But even each one of us here, wrapped in the obscurity of our faith and carrying in our forehead the sign, the seal of the sacrament of baptism, we are also in adoration before the throne of the Lamb. That's why this is especially intense when we go to Mass on this side of the altar. We are adoring the Lamb who is on the altar in the Eucharist. We are offering the same sacrifice, His sacrifice, which becomes our sacrifice, the sacrifice of the Church as a body, and of each one of us as members of this Church. We are adoring the Lamb. And what about the saints in heaven we are talking about? The saints in heaven are also in the Mass on the other side of the altar, on the side of God, because they are with God, on the side of Jesus. But they are doing exactly what we are doing, namely adoring the Lamb, according to St. John. That's why when we invoke the saints with their names, sometimes in some particular circumstances, we should feel that they are present. In the ordination of a priest, you know, one of the ceremonies is the Litany of the Saints, in which many saints are invoked. They always try to include the saints of patron of each one of the person being ordained. Okay, so when I was ordained, well, they say Saint Carolus, Borromeo, and everybody answered, "Have mercy on us." Okay, or rather, sorry, they answer, "To help us, no? To help us, we invoke them, no? The saints, no?" Well, when we pray to the saints, it's as if we call them by name, and they should say, "Here I am," because we are calling them. This is the climate in which we should now celebrate the Eucharist. If we look at the biblical readings for today, for today's feast, if we read them and bring them to a prayer, we can go deeper in this aspect that we celebrate in this solemnity. There's a contrast between the first and the other reading. In the first reading, St. John introduces us the celestial Jerusalem, Jerusalem in heaven. And he describes in a symbolic kind of speech that is populated by person who have gone through a great tribulation and have washed their own vestments in the blood of the Lamb. And now they are singing a canticle of victory and praise of God. Salvation and sanctity, which we are trying to get, belong to God and to the Lamb. It's not our merit. Sanctity is a gift of God. Sanctity is a special relationship with Jesus Christ, with God the Father and the Holy Spirit as children. The more intense, the holier the person is. But definitely, it's not our merit. So therefore, only God is holy. God is holy. In fact, God is holiness itself. Only He. We are sanctified, passive. We receive that sanctification, that holiness from God. He gives us His grace. That's why we call it grace, because it's gratuitous. And there we should imagine that crowd of saints in heaven adoring God, and we are on this side contemplating the whole act of adoration. We are those who are on the way to be sanctified. They have reached the end of the journey. It's an immense crowd of all races, of all peoples, of all nations. It's the church of those who have been saved and are already in heaven. And they are in the joy of the Lord. And from now on and forever, they live hidden with Christ in God, that is inserted in Christ, because they are members of His mystical body. After this first reading, we go to the Gospel. We realize that it's a completely different climate. The Gospel speaks of the holy people, but they live in poverty, in affliction. People who are thirsty and famished. People who are persecuted for the sake of justice. People who weep. You remember the Beatitudes. This is the pilgrim church, that is all of us. So we should not be amazed if we find some of this, because this is the way. Because it's the Lord who is pointing out to us the narrow road that leads to life and happiness. It's our part of the church, all of us. Therefore, the Lord is talking about us. And what is the difference between the saints in heaven that we celebrate today and all of us here? they are holy, in possession of that sanctity that they have received, that holiness that they have received from God. We are holy only in hope. We have the hope of being holy. Spe gaudentes, as St. Paul says in the Epistle to the Romans, chapter 12, we are rejoicing in hope, of hope to rejoice, both. So in the second reading, St. John introduces us to a deeper truth, very consoling truth. Beloved, we are children of God, but we do not know yet what we shall be. We have that hope. Why? Because St. John feels incapable of describing the joy of heaven for us. So he only points out that this is an immense joy and encourages us to continue fighting. We do not know what one day we shall be. Not in the sense of uncertainty. Well, yes, there is some uncertainty, but I think he's referring to the amazing grandeur of what we shall be, what it means to be really a child of God, a son of God. This is it. This is the term of our journey. It's the possession of all happiness forever, the kingdom of heaven, which somehow has begun for us because we are running after it. We are children of God now, co-heirs with Christ. In this point, we are in the communion of the saints in heaven. So, therefore, we cannot fall into quietism to say, well, okay, so I am a son of God, that's it. No, I don't have to do anything. No, because if we maintain that attitude, we weaken, we become corrupt. We have to grow. What happened with the seed when you put in the soil, in the field? Does it remain like that? Well, it dies. No, no. The seed grows and becomes a plant and a tree. What the same in our life. The thing of being a child of God does not remain neutral or stagnant. It has to be continuously growing. My friend, are you growing in your awareness that you are a child of God? Do you think of heaven? Do you realize, especially today, that you have your brothers and sisters, your closest friend in heaven, the saints? That's not slackened. There's no slowdown in our race to heaven. Happiness is waiting for us. You know, listen to this. The saints are in heaven adoring God, right? They are full of happiness because God is happiness. Now, let's ask them, hey, you, Saint Expeditus, for instance, if you were, hypothetically, come down to earth and have, say, 5 years of additional life, what would you do? And the answer, I'm sure, is to devote this time given to me, turning it into loving God, occasion to love and serve God, so that in heaven it will be more glorious. You see the difference? They cannot increase their glory. But we, you and I, we have our time. We don't know for how long, but we have this time. What am I doing with my time? Am I investing it in the most serious endeavor I could do, that is, in loving and serving God, in giving myself to Him, in giving myself to the others for God? What am I doing with my time? What am I doing with the talents that I have received? It's the same thing. Am I running, walking towards the light? How lucky we are. We can still rectify. We can press on. We can run faster. We can love. Meanwhile, the only way to be in touch with them so far is the Eucharistic communion, the Mass and the reception of the Eucharist. The Mass becomes an anticipation of heaven, of our entrance in that Jerusalem in heaven, in that communion with the saint. How can I be close to the saints in heaven? How can I be close to my grandfather, who was a very good person, to this and that saint? How? In the Eucharist. That's the moment that you can be closer to them. How's your Mass? What a pity if you neglect your Mass or avoid it. So every day we should be looking forward to that moment to be with our friends. It's a daily undas, because we can pray for them. Let's hope, because we are now able to hope. Let's increase our faith, but above all, let's increase our charity, our love, because we are invited to a supper of the Lord in heaven with the saints. Same table, same food, that is the Lamb. He will give us, His chosen ones, the food we need. No longer our eyes will be covered with a veil, as it happens now. We don't see Him. We believe in Him only. We will not be with Jesus by symbols, but we will see Him face to face. In the same way of our Mother the Virgin holds her Son Jesus, sees Him face to face, always, forever, in infinite happiness that cannot be described. Let's be good friends of the saints in heaven, those we know and those relatives, perhaps friends, all of them adoring God from their side, and you and I adoring Him from this side of the altar in the Mass. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations you have communicated to me in this meditation. I beg your help in performing them. Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.